Welcome back to the Anxiety Summit. This is Trudy Scott again, and today we have another person who has very kindly agreed to join us and share her story using the amino acids. We've heard from Julia Ross, and we've heard from Hala Kath about the power of the amino acids for helping with mood problems, for ending anxiety, and for actually ending addictions and emotional eating. So today, Mimi Grant is going to be joining us and sharing her amazing story. She is a GAPS practitioner, a nutritional therapist, FNTP, and fellow South African. And she was actually born in Rhodesia, which is where I was born. Rhodesia was what Zimbabwe was called before it changed names. And she actually lived in my hometown of Durban at the same time I was there. And her website is givennewlife.info. Welcome, Mimi.
Hi, Trudy, and hello to everyone. Thank you so much for the summit, Trudy. It's really great to be able to participate, and I know many people will be benefiting from it, and hopefully they'll benefit from my story as well.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here, and I really got to know Mimi when she participated in one of my group programs called The Amazing Amino Acids for Emotional Eating. And she joined the program to help with emotional eating, obviously, because of the title of the talk, and for her cravings. But then she found other answers. And this is one of the some of the benefits of using amino acids is that it helped her sleep problems. It helped her anxiety, especially when she was out speaking. And she found solutions to her panic attacks. They completely stopped, which is so fantastic. And I really wanted her to come on and share her incredible journey to health and happiness and calmness, because I think it's really important for you to hear from actual people who have had results, as well as all the wonderful experts who have been sharing and who you're going to continue to hear from on the Anxiety Summit. But hearing from someone who's actually lived it and been through it and seen phenomenal results is really important. And I'm just so thrilled that you're here, Mimi. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Trudy.
And I'm calling Mimi all the way from California to the UK. She's actually living in Cornwall at the moment, another beautiful place in the world that I've spent some time in. And what's your weather like at the moment, Mimi?
It's been a bit overcast today, but not too rainy, thank goodness.
Okay, good. It's sunny here and early morning here, yes. And it's late afternoon there, so I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
It's only my pleasure.
Good. And you can all, I'm sure you can hear the accent. We've got pretty similar accents. It's lovely to talk to someone from Africa.
Well, that was, when I heard your accent when you gave the talk, it got me all excited, and I thought, I've got to go with Trudy.
Okay, good. That's great. So you've had some really big health challenges and a very interesting life. I know you sailed around the ocean, and you've done some pretty exciting things. But you started off with some pretty bad health challenges. So why don't we just start at the beginning and share some of the things that went on in your youth?
Well, basically, I was born the runt of the litter, so I was ill right from babyhood. You know, I had asthmas and bronchitises and always depressed and feeling cold and inability to concentrate and this very jaundiced point of view. Terrible, terrible sweet tooth, and totally hungry all the time, absolutely insatiable hunger. I just cannot remember ever feeling full, which is a terrible thing to do because you eat so much and everybody looks at you as if you've crawled out of the cabbage patch. But, yeah, you know, I was a light eater. When it was light, I ate. You know, I just didn't have a choice. You know, so it was horrible. And, of course, I craved everything sweet and chocolate, of course. I mean, just my downfall. You know, I'd go get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go and find a chocolate if I didn't have any. You know, it just wasn't my willpower. You know, I just didn't have any willpower. I just needed won't power.
Well, you certainly have a good sense of humor, so that's a good thing. Have that good sense of humor. And
well,
then
I had to laugh at myself. You know,
and I can relate to the chocolate craving. Growing up in South Africa, my mom was always saying, "We can't have sweets. You can't have hard candies, but chocolate's okay because it's soft and it's not going to damage your teeth." And that was the rationale, I think. So I remember chocolate was a big thing in my family, and it still is. You know, it's a very common thing for us to crave and to have that addiction to.
Yeah, well, we weren't even allowed those. My mother had this story that sweetness was, well, she was from Holland, so equivalent of just a finger long. So, it was always given out in small pieces, which made things worse ways, but it was one way of controlling it.
Yes.
But, in 2002, what really made it worse was that I was a delivery skipper on a nightmare trip. And this boat started developing a few problems. Well, we all started getting ill on it. And we discovered afterwards it was something used in the construction. And we ended up having to abandon the boat and getting rescued. And I ended up in hospital and very nearly died. But fortunately, being blonde, of course, I didn't know I should have. So I didn't. But, of course, the toxic effects of this damaged my nervous system, some organs. And after that, my health just went downhill, like just nosedived. And I was plagued up to 7 panic attacks a day, you know, which is not easy to live with. I ballooned in weight because I was on cortisones to try and save me. And, of course, then I couldn't lose it. I had this chronic fatigue. To get up in the morning was a major mission. Insomnia, I was always having nightmares. I ended up with crippling arthritis, chemical sensitivities. I couldn't even walk down the soap aisle of the supermarket without my chest closing. And pre-diabetic, and of course my appetite totally out of control as always, and going into deeper and deeper depression, always finding fault with myself. So bad, in fact, that I patented my own figurative bicycle. I put boots on the back wheel so I could kick my own butt. Did many, many hours on that one.
Wow, that's a lot that you went through. And I remember you saying something that your husband said to you about panic attacks. What was that?
That was a friend, a person I met in another town that was actually poisoned with the same toxins that I was poisoned with. And he had the same reactions as me, to the same stimulus as me, with the same panic attacks. It was like talking to a double. It was quite scary.
Wow.
But he said to me, "You must always remember, Mimi, that panic attacks don't kill." And after that, I could manage them a lot better. I could feel the panic attack and say to myself, it's not going to kill me. Yes, you feel as if you're going to die. You feel as if you got to run out of the room and scream and shout, but it's not going to happen. So I take my mind and put it on an island somewhere and try and relax.
Wow. Well, it's interesting that you say that, and I can totally relate because I had some panic attacks myself. Fortunately, I didn't have as many as you had, but I remember that feeling like I was going to die. This is terrifying. This is the most, you know, something is going to happen. I'm not going to make it. And unfortunately, a lot of people are told it's not going to kill you, but we do know now from research that if you have more anxiety and more panic attacks, it puts you at a much higher risk of heart disease and strokes, and it plays a big role in impacting the heart. So that's another reason why it's so important that we do something about it and stop them. You know, as bad as they are, some people like you manage to sort of live with them just because you don't have an answer, but we really want to do something about it. So I'm just thrilled that you found solutions, and we'll get to that in a second. But just going to some of the things that you experienced, and I'm sorry that you went through so much. Oh, poisoning on the boat and then your husband having similar things just sounds horrific. But I just wanted to summarize, because we've talked about some of the low serotonin symptoms and some of the other calls. And for those of you that are listening, you might see some things here. Classic things with low serotonin are anxiety, panic attacks, the insomnia, the out-of-control appetite, the depression, sometimes even the chemical sensitivities can be an issue. There's a lot of digestive issues that go on with low serotonin as well. So you can see Mimi had a lot of these symptoms of low serotonin, which is why she benefited so much from some of the amino acids that you'll hear about in a second. So sorry to interrupt there, but let's go on with you started to find some solutions, which I think is fantastic. Share with us the IgG blood test and some of the other stuff that started to go on.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that I must put in here, which is also a sign of low aminos, of course, is you feel everybody else's pain and every animal's pain, and, you know, it just leaves you in tears and you can't help anybody because of it. I was was always bursting into tears, poor old hubby. And, a friend of mine told me about the IgG blood tests because they helped with arthritis. So I went off and had that done, cut out all the foods that showed up. Of course, they were all my favorites. But I changed those, and I lost weight without trying, which was a bonus. But my arthritis disappeared. You know, that was... So, yeah, and I used to eat ton loads still. So I'm the original pig out and get thin story, you know. But, all the symptoms disappeared, except, of course, I still had low energy. I felt a little less depressed, and I was not quite as hungry. But I still had comfort eating problems, moon swings, depressions, and, of course, my bicycle sessions and panic attacks. The problem was that I drove myself to cope because I was determined that this incident was not going to stop me sailing. And as a result, I ended up messing up my adrenals and getting them rather tired, you know. So, of course, it wasn't helped by panic attacks.
Wow.
And then, of course, finding out now that the IgG worked so well, I had an interest in nutrition.
Fantastic.
So then I became a practitioner.
Before we do that, let's just go back. I just want to explain to people what the IgG test is. So if you'd like to explain it, or I can, what...
Well, IgG basically picks up the antibodies to the foods that have leaked through your small intestine into your bloodstream.
Excellent.
Because your small intestine's been compromised and got leaky, and is leaking all these foods in there. And, of course, it's all the things you eat so much of are the ones that are going to leak the most, so your immune system's going to get its nappy in a knot and go and cause all kinds of havoc, which, of course, leads to problems. So, yeah.
Right. So also the other thing that I want to just mention is that it's a delayed reaction. So we know about IgE testing, which is the when you get the anaphylactic shock, and then there's this IgG testing, which is going to show a delayed reaction. So you may eat something, and it may only cause a problem a day later or 2 days later. You may have symptoms. You may notice some symptoms, or you may not. And as the case with Mimi is, she had a lot of foods that she was intolerant to, and they showed up on this IgG blood test. Once she took those foods out, then she was able to start healing because she didn't have this these antibodies being produced. Her body wasn't fighting against what was going on. So it's a great test to do to figure out if you do have some of these food intolerances. Sorry to interrupt. Let's go on to the next thing, Mimi, which was you learned about GAPS. So let's just talk about what GAPS is. And then you actually became a GAPS practitioner, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, well, with this chemical sensitivity, I couldn't really sail boats anymore because of the paints and solvents that they use in the maintenance and building of these boats. And, of course, my husband ended up with melanoma, so one day I'll have to nurse him. So, going sailing is not exactly conducive to nursing an ill man. So, yeah, and... A friend of mine gave me Dr. Natasha Campbell's talk on YouTube, and then I started telling people about it, and they started seeing amazing results, and I realized I was actually a GAPS person from birth. So I had to become a GAPS practitioner, seeing the results of the people that I told to do it. GAPS stands for Gut and Psychology or Gut and Physiology Syndrome, which is a phenomenal two-year dietary program that Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride developed. She was a neurologist, and then she had a son who was diagnosed with autism, and she found she couldn't help him. So she went back and studied and human nutrition, got her master's in that, and developed this GAPS protocol, which is really phenomenal. All kinds of things, mental, digestive, and autoimmune.
Isn't it amazing? It really is. And it's something that I use in my practice as well. I'll have everyone go gluten-free and then dairy-free, and then the next step is to go on the GAPS diet, which makes it a little bit harder because you've got more restriction. But it's amazing the results that people get. And I'm so pleased that you found this and started to get results.
Well, it was phenomenal. You know, I've got friends who've got bipolar children, and after 3 months these children were no longer bipolar, and the little girl said to me, well, young lady at the moment, she said to me just a couple of weeks ago, she said, Mimi, I just feel so sorry for the old me. I don't know how she ever survived.
Aww.
Which is just phenomenal.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
So you were going to talk more a little bit about the GAPS protocol, and what just a little bit more how it works.
Well, GAPS basically takes out all things that can damage the gut and cause havoc and feed the bad bacteria. And it nourishes the good bacteria and puts the good bacteria back and give you the foods that are healing to the gut. So it basically heals and seals the gut so that nothing can leak into the bloodstream anymore. And one of the biggest things, of course, is replacing the good bacteria, which, of course, we managed to kill quite successfully in the way we eat and all the rest of it.
So how do we replace it? Let's give some examples of what kind of foods are
included. Well, basically, it consists of fermented foods, which are full of very good probiotics and, of course, probiotic capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, by cutting out the foods like the starchy, sweet foods, which tend to feed the bad bacteria, or the pirates and the terrorists, as I call them. And then our troops get fed by the good food.
Fantastic. And then bone broths are a big part of it as well.
Oh, yeah. Bone broths are amazing. They're so alkalinizing and so cleansing. And, of course, they contain all the minerals that we need because our bones are our mineral reserve. So by cooking up the bones and getting the minerals out of them, it does our minerals a phenomenal amount of good. It really does. It's so good for us.
Fantastic. Really great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so phenomenal. I mean, with my husband's melanoma, he's on bone broth, and he's actually shrunk his melanoma tumors just by being on bone broth.
That's fantastic! Wow, that's
great. Yeah, he's about 6 years past his medical expire by date at the moment.
I'm so glad to hear that, and that's just a testament to what you guys are doing with diet and lifestyle. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
He's got the very dangerous nodular melanoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, great. That's fantastic. But back to you. So you put yourself on this GAPS diet, and you started to see some big improvements. Let's share with those.
Oh, yes. You know, I didn't have so much of a foot-shaped mouth anymore, and I wasn't so crowd-phobic. And even better, I could introduce some previously forbidden food, and I didn't smell so much like a volcanic eruption as I moved around. it was really, depression was starting to leave. I was starting to get more energy, and it was really, really getting very good. And I'd been on it a couple of months when I heard your talk. And, you know, I look back in my life now, and I realize all the social gaffes that I made, not because I intended to, but just because my dots didn't connect in my head. I didn't realize all the social faux pas I'd made. And I look back now and I can kind of cringe, but at least I don't do get on my bicycle anymore.
Good. Well, that's great.
So, you know, I heard your talk and then I thought, well, I've got to come and do that because it's going to fast-track my recovery because Dr. Natasha mentioned the amino acids on the GAPS course that we did, GAPS practitioner's course.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned that it helps with anxiety and addictions and... So when I heard your talk, I thought, well, I'm going to try this, and at least I've got a first-hand experience, and I have an in-depth experience of how it works.
Great. It's always good to experience it. When you when you joined, did you have any idea of how effective they would be for you?
Oh, no. I just thought, well, let's give it a bash. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I don't presuppose things. You know, I don't go in there with this idea that this has got to work. I go in there and say, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Good. Well, good. And you had such amazing results. So.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal results. It really was. I was so blown away by how the panic attacks, binge eating and cravings and mood swings all just disappeared like magic.
Good. Well, let me give a little bit of context here because we've talked about this program and I just want folks to understand what it was. So it was a group program called the Amazing Aminos for Emotional Eating, and you joined to help with the emotional eating, but you also found answers for the anxiety and the panic attacks and the sleep. But it was a six-week online group program which was structured so we could add a different amino acid each week based on your response to the mood cure questionnaires, which were developed by Julia Ross and slightly modified for me in my practice. And we heard from Julia earlier in the summit, and she's the author of The Mood Cure and a pioneer in the use of these targeted individual amino acids for both cravings, emotional eating cravings, or whatever kind of cravings you have, and then the mood disorders, the anxiety and the negative self-talk, which you heard Mimi had a lot of. So the program is, the first week we looked at low blood sugar symptoms, and this is where you've got these intense cravings, you've got low blood sugar, you're cranky between meals, and we introduced glutamine. And tell me how glutamine helped you.
Well, basically the magnetic attraction for all those sweet things kind of disappeared, you know, the magnet was switched off somewhere along the line. So, you know, even on GAPS, I found it difficult to do without sweet things, you know, and chocolate, that's always my downfall.
Okay. And you actually opened the glutamine onto your tongue?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And that made a difference versus just swallowing it?
It was more instant, so I still walk around with a pocket full.
Right. And we actually heard from Hala Kass in her interview about the effectiveness of opening glutamine onto your tongue. And I just want to share here, glutamine helps to stabilize blood sugar, it stops those intense cravings for sweet, and it also starts to heal the gut, which I'm sure, even though you've been on the GAPS diet, you could have probably done with some more gut healing, and the glutamine starts to do that. So that was really, really great.
Yeah, well, I ended up as a celiac, and of course I wasn't picked up very quickly in the game, so I was kind of very bad by the time I'd realized it. So, yeah, my gut is damaged.
So you needed that healing. Okay, great. Yeah. And then I also want to mention that even though the program was structured to discuss a different amino acid each week and introduce it if the person had those deficiencies. We also talked about food. You know, each week we talked about food. And in this first class, we talked about blood sugar control. And part of that was having a good breakfast with protein every single day. And just that can make a big difference for a lot of people. But I know because you were a GAPS practitioner and you were already on this journey, you were already eating a good breakfast with protein.
Oh, yes, no, I always have good protein for breakfast, yeah. I threw the cereals out a long time ago, many, many moons ago, like when I found about my IgG test, which was now 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had cereals since then.
Okay, good. Yeah, protein. So what's an example of what you would have for breakfast?
Oh, well, I'd have meat and vegetables. I mean, what did people have before cereals were invented? They used to have fish and vegetables, meat and vegetables, and, if you were Scottish, you had porridge, but it was at least properly cooked oat porridge and not instant stuff that spikes your blood sugar.
Excellent. Good. Yeah, I love the dinner for breakfast idea, and a lot of people can't get their heads around that, but it makes such a big difference when you have protein first thing in the morning. It just sets you up for the rest of the day, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, my attitude when I realized that all my favorites had to go was that basically I can go into a decline because of the 50-odd foods that showed up that I can't eat. Or I can be happy about the 200 foods I can still eat. And it's my mind, and I will tell it what it has to do, and I'm not going to listen to the brainwashing of the advertisers because they don't have my best interests at heart.
Good.
And we've all been brainwashed by the advertising fraternity to just eat cereals, and it's just not acceptable.
Good. And I like that attitude. You know, since a lot of people will say, oh, how do you survive only eating, you know, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. And my answer is, you have power over your health by changing your diet. Instead of thinking of it as being restrictive, you've got to take all these things out. Think about how beautiful it is that you can actually control your health with diet and nutrients instead of having to use medications or surgery or something else. And to me, that is what's so powerful about everything that we do, which I know you're passionate about as well because you're a GAPS practitioner. So I think that's a good way to frame it. Very good.
Yeah, well, the thing is it arthritis and illness or cakes and bread? Or cheese? I mean, put it in the balance. Yeah, right. I know which one comes up right.
Yeah, very good point. Okay, so then the next week we looked at the low catecholamines, and I picked the low catecholamines as a second one because it helps with motivation. And for people who are just starting out on a program like this and making some changes, I first wanted to get blood sugar stable because that's an easy one to do. But then the next one was to look at motivation. And if you've got low catecholamines, you're going to have this low motivation. You're going to feel blah. You're going to have poor focus. You may have depression with apathy, the kind of depression where you just want to crawl up and get in your bed and not see anyone. And the amino acid that helps with this is tyrosine. And typically, if someone's got anxiety, I wouldn't go to the tyrosine first because it can make you a little bit more agitated. It can make you a little bit anxious, and we usually try and calm down first. But because this program was an emotional eating program, I was more focused on folks getting that motivation to be able to continue. So I know you used the tyrosine, Mimi, and how did it help you?
Well, it helped me very much because I have what you call a flutter-by mind. You know, all the ideas flutter by and I might be able to catch them as they go past. And, of course, I didn't have energy and I just couldn't focus. And I had the blahs, you know. Everything was just too much hassle to worry about. I'd have to kick my butt out to do something, you know. And it really helped me in that way, but in a very exciting way that it helped me, but a bit down the line, was that I was diagnosed with Raynaud's syndrome, and I always used to get cold and never be able to warm up on my own. And now I just don't get that cold anymore, and I can warm up on my own, which is marvelous. I don't use my husband as a hot water bottle anymore.
Good.
I'm very happy.
That's fantastic. And tyrosine is a nutrient that feeds the thyroid, so you were getting some benefits there, which is fantastic.
Yeah, well, with GAPS, of course, we eat seaweeds for iodine and Brazil nuts for selenium. But, obviously the thyroid of mine, which the numbers were still in the range, I might add, just needed that little bit of tyrosine to kick it into working properly.
Fantastic. Great. And then we looked at the low endorphins. And when you've got low endorphins, these are feel-good neurotransmitters that make you feel comforted. And if you eat for comfort or reward or numbing, or you're looking for some kind of treat, or you say, I love something, I just love certain foods, boosting the endorphins really make a difference. And I've heard you say this a number of times, that you love chocolate. Would you say that was your love of a certain food? Was it chocolate?
Yes. When you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go fetch chocolate, yeah, I reckon that classifies.
Okay, good. And then also I heard you mention earlier, you said you felt the pain and the emotional pain of other people, and that can be a low endorphin symptom. So we had you try the DPA, which is the D-phenylalanine, and this really helped you.
Oh, yes, yeah, because I'd swapped really junk gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free foods for healthy alternatives, when I stressed, real or imaginary. You know, you can stress out on imaginary things if you want to, or if you let yourself. And, of course, then I'd immediately reach for chocolate or anything sweet in the vicinity. And with GAPS, of course, it became more honey and fruit-related, but, of course, it's an avalanche food. The moment I start with sweet stuff, it doesn't matter how big the packet is, it's just got to be finished. And between this and glutamine, I could now resist it, whereas before I could not. And I didn't need that comfort eating anymore. So I got a bit stressed. I didn't need to rush out and grab the nearest sweet thing to eat. And except for recently, I introduced ghee into my diet because, of course, dairy was my one big, very big one along with gluten, and which is clarified butter. And immediately the insatiable hunger returned and the sweet cravings. So, yeah, see, food sensitivities have a phenomenal power.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned all the healthy sweeteners because I see this a lot. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not eating white sugar anymore and I'm not eating high fructose syrup, but I'm not eating the processed foods. But they start looking for all these little healthy, and I have that in tick marks, sweeteners, and are loading up with honey and maybe too much fruit, maybe agave nectar, which is not a good thing. We know that because it's fructose, it can affect the heart. And then, you know, as soon as agave goes out the window, then there's this other healthy sweetener that people are thinking is okay. And really, we shouldn't be eating so much sweet. If the brain chemistry is in balance and you've got all the neurotransmitters in order that you need, you shouldn't need more than fruit, a small amount of fruit to satisfy your sweet taste. And that's a great clue that everything is in balance and you don't have neurotransmitter deficiencies or other nutritional deficiencies, because you should be able to just take it or leave it. And this is what we were aiming for in this program, the amazing aminos for emotional eating. Anything else you wanted to add there, or should we go into serotonin?
Well, I thought that dates were healthy, so I supplemented with dates, of course.
Yes, and that's a good point. I was actually working with a client this week, and we were talking about sugar, and I shared a wonderful quote that I've heard Tana Amon say on a few of her presentations. She's the brain doctor's wife, Dr. Amon, who's written all the wonderful brain books, and she says, sugar is like crack. We wouldn't do crack in moderation. Why do we do sugar in moderation? And I was talking to a client about this. She's actually a nutritionist as well, and she has these incredible sugar cravings. And she said to me, dates are my crack. You know, I eat them out. It's totally out of control. I need something sweet, and I think it's healthy to eat dates. I know it's not really healthy, but I'm feeling that that's the healthiest choice. So it's a good distinction to have that we shouldn't be using something like dates, because it's so high in sugar, and if we're eating 40 of them a day, that's just way too much sugar.
And, of course, when you go into a health food store, you get all these date bars.
Exactly, yes. All these power bars are just loaded up with sugar, so much sugar. J.J. Virgin is the author of The Virgin Diet and a good friend and colleague of mine, and she calls these energy bars adult candy bars, because that's what they really are.
Yeah, very much so.
So we know. And unfortunately, when we've got these brain chemical imbalances and low serotonin and low blood sugar, we just gravitate to sugar because we need it. But anyway, are we done with that? Can we go on to low serotonin?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, good. Now, I'm glad we've had this discussion. I think it's important. So then the next week, we addressed possible low serotonin. So, of course, everyone in the program did the low serotonin questionnaires. We've mentioned a few of those, the afternoon and evening cravings, the sadness, the negative self-talk, the insomnia, PMS, intolerance to heat. And then, of course, the anxiety, where you have this anxiety in your head, the ruminating thoughts, the worry in your head, that's classic low serotonin. And the amino acid for low serotonin is tryptophan or 5-HTP. And I know you tried tryptophan and found that it helped tremendously.
Oh, yes, no, very much so, because that little voice in the head, that negative one, just shut up, so at least I can keep him quiet now. Took half a capsule, a 500 milligram capsule before bed, and got up feeling great in the morning and didn't have this can't sleep because my brain's going round and round in circles and this little voice won't keep quiet. And even now, if I have a busy mind, I'll still use it. And after the trip I was poisoned on, it was very difficult. For 11 years, I didn't have a good night's sleep. And for 9 of those 11 years, I had nightmares all the time, every night. And and then, of course, I had the typical adrenal fatigue pattern of can't get up in the morning, can't sleep at night, you know, and battling to sleep, waking at 2, sleeping, not sleeping till 5, unable to get up. And, of course, after the tryptophan, I didn't feel suicidal most of the time, which was great. You know, 11 years without much sleep is not good for you.
That is incredible that you had endured 11 hours without proper sleep, and that is just so brutal. And then within a day, was it a day of taking the tryptophan, you had a good night's sleep?
Yeah, that night. I just slept for 8 hours, you know, for the first time in 11 years. It was quite amazing. You know, I got up saying, wow, I slept. Whoopee.
That is fantastic. It really is amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm glad you mentioned adrenals, because Julia Ross also talked about the adrenals. And when someone's got sleep problems, we'll use We'll look at low serotonin as a possibility. We'll look at GABA as a possibility, low GABA as a possibility. And we'll talk about GABA in a second. But adding in the tryptophan can definitely help. And then some people have high cortisol at night, and then they can't sleep, and then we need to address that. But it sounds like your issue might have been low cortisol and then the low serotonin at night, which is why the tryptophan was so amazing.
Yeah, no, very much so. I feel tired around about 4 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, my eyeballs had just opened up, and whoopee, I was ready to go. You know, that's the reverse of what it should be, of course, with the adrenals. And another thing is, of course, my panic attacks weren't as frequent or as bad on tryptophan.
Fantastic.
But, an aha moment for me was when I heard that things like sugar and junk food and stress deplete serotonin. Well, yeah, my life was just stressful, full of sugar, full of junk food, and we wonder why I had problems. I don't think so.
What fantastic results. That was really great. And then the fact that your panic attacks actually diminished as well, not quite enough, but it was a start, which was fantastic. Really, really great.
Yeah.
And I want to just mention that in the program, we obviously talked about SSRIs, and this is something that we haven't touched on yet, and we didn't talk about it in Julia's talk, so I just want to mention it here, is that if you have low serotonin symptoms and you're thinking about taking tryptophan or 5-HTP, there is a possible contraindication if you are taking SSRIs. There's this possibility of serotonin syndrome. So you do want to work with your doctor, or work with someone who's knowledgeable in the use of the amino acids. And I had everyone on the program complete the amino acid precautions document that Julia Ross has in her book and in her program, so we could know who was, would need that additional support and would need to talk to their doctor or decide not to do the tryptophan or the 5-HTP with the low serotonin symptoms until they had worked with their doctor to get off their medication. So I just wanted to add that in there. And I know you weren't taking an SSRI, so it wasn't an issue for you.
No, I rather fight it with the brain.
Or just live with it until you find answers like the amino acids.
What can't be cured has to be endured.
Yes. Well, we found answers for you, which was fantastic.
I'm so grateful, believe me.
Okay, then the final class was looking at low GABA levels, which can lead to the stress eating, and a lot of people will use wine to relax. And the big thing with GABA is low GABA, you've got this physical tension, and then also have panic attacks. And I know you had amazing results with GABA. But before we get into your results, I just want to share a little story about GABA, because there is this misconception that it doesn't work, oral GABA doesn't work, because it doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. And I was actually presenting at an integrative conference, Integrative Medicine, the American Association of Integrative Medicine. I presented at the conference a few weeks ago, and a doctor who was in the audience, he came up to me afterwards, he thanked me for my talk, and I said to him, what do you think about GABA? Because I know that it's not well recognized as being effective, certainly the oral GABA. And he said he loved my talk, but the one area that he didn't really like or agree with was the discussion about GABA. And he said, it just doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. There's research showing it, and it doesn't work. And I said to him, but I have seen the results myself personally, because I was a GABA girl when I had my anxiety in my late 30s. And I said to him, I see it with my clients all the time. Just ask one of my clients, if it, does this work or are you imagining it? He still said to me, it's a placebo effect. It's definitely not working. So I've brought this up in interviews a few times, and I wanted to just hear from you, because I know that GABA was amazing for you. You clearly needed it, and it was the best amino acid for you.
Oh, absolutely it was. And as I said before, I'm one of these people who say, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't go in there with preconceived ideas. I want to see if it will work. I don't say it has to work. So placebo doesn't work very well with me, because I know about it, so I counteract it. And I took GABA for the first time in the afternoon and had no panic attacks that afternoon. And I took one in the evening, and I did that for a couple of weeks, and I haven't seen a panic attack since. I must admit, though, if I'm in a stressful situation, I will take one just in case. To give an example of that is, you know, being a sailing instructor, I could talk to a small class or group of people without too much of a problem. But when I faced a large group or the thought of talking on air, like now, for instance, I wouldn't get butterflies. I'd get terrible dactyls, not even normal pterodactyls. You know, these things would just have a party in my tummy. One Sunday I had to give a talk, and of course nothing was going right. And it was the first time I was using overhead these camera projectors and things like this. And I live on a boat, so a TV remote is an alien thing to me. And I started to panic. So I took a gabber, and I handled it without a problem. Normally I would have been in tears and totally incapable of doing anything. So I used a 750ml gabber with the theanine, passion flower, hops, and skull caps, the Botanica one. But I thought 750 was a bit hefty, and I might need to taper it down. So I took half a capsule at midday and another one at 5 p.m. just before I left for the presentation, which was 7 p.m. And I handled it like a dream. It was brilliant.
Fantastic. And I want to just mention that I usually have my clients start on 125 milligram, and it's a sublingual form, actually GABA Calm. But I know you were in Gibraltar at the time, and you didn't have access to that, so you used the Botanica form. And I remember asking you on the Facebook group which form were you using, because I wanted to know what was getting you the results. So 750 milligrams, you used half of that. That's often too much for people, and I just, it's good to start low, but I'm glad that you got results just with that. That was fantastic. And yours was not a sublingual form. It was one that you swallow. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I have to open the capsule and throw it into the water. So,
oh, you do. Okay. Okay. Good.
Well, it doesn't taste that good, but what the hell, you know.
Yes. Well, it got you the results, which is fantastic. Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always thought my tears were post-traumatic stress disorder after traumatic life and the trip we were poisoned on and everything else like that. But I now see that it was a nutritional deficiency. That and my depressions were totally nutritional deficiencies, which was being, born celiac and albinoid and with rickets and asthma and all this sort of thing, a typical GAPS person, basically. So, yeah, it was because my gut was always messed up that I had all these problems from the start.
And when your gut's messed up, you're going to have nutritional deficiencies because you're not going to be able to absorb the nutrients from the beautiful breakfast that you're having and all the wonderful food that you were eating. So you get the gut sorted out, and then you start addressing those nutritional deficiencies, and then you can start to feel so great, which is so wonderful.
Absolutely. It really is. It's super.
And then, which is just wonderful. I'm just so happy for you, Mimi. It really is great. I just love seeing the success with you and all my clients. It's just so, so rewarding. Just love it. That's why I do what I do, and that's why you do what you do. It's just so amazing how we can bring about change by doing some of these very simple things.
Yeah, you should see it from my side. I mean, this has revolutionized my life, you know.
Oh, that's so great. In the last class, we did the GABA, and then I also talked about a social anxiety condition called pyroluria, and this is a genetic condition where you have this higher need for certain nutrients, certainly zinc and vitamin B6, and evening primrose oil is very helpful. And you added a few more nutrients, these nutrients that I've just mentioned, and you saw more benefits.
Yeah, well, from the questionnaire, I gathered that I basically ticked most of the boxes. So it was another thing those ancestors give you that you'd rather they'd kept, but yeah. And you said try the liquid zinc, and if it tastes good, you're deficient. So basically the liquid zinc tasted like toffee, and it was quite a bit of a time before it tasted horrible because I didn't want to kind of overdose it, so I'd take a drop each day. And it was a week or so before I saw the full benefits. But now I know if I get anxious when I'm in, talking to people in a group of people, then basically my zinc tastes like toffee.
So meaning it tastes sweet, and zinc should actually taste very, very horrible, because zinc affects our taste buds, and when we've got good zinc levels, we will taste the zinc sulfate, which is the zinc tally, which helps you. It's one of the tests to determine if zinc may be a deficiency. And when you add in the zinc and the B6, then the social anxiety goes away. So that's what happened with you. You don't get that social anxiety.
Yeah, being a skipper of a yacht, it's very easy to hide behind your skipper's hat and, you know, be this skipper and, you know, hide all the things that are going on inside. And, you know, when I've been changing underwear and you appear calm and cool and everything else on the surface. And, yeah, I should have got an Oscar for some of my performances.
That's the thing. You put on this brave face. And when you're on a boat, you can isolate and you can just be by yourself or you and your husband, and you don't have to be out there. But a lot of people have a really big problem being out in social settings, and it's uncomfortable. And I've heard the term, you know, I know a lot of introverts have a very big problem with being in social settings, and I've heard of the term extrovert, you know, as a verb. Go to an event and extrovert. Force yourself to be sociable and put on a brave face and look like you're comfortable and know what you're talking about. And it's very unfortunate. And I've actually, interestingly enough, seen a very strong correlation between the Pareloria questionnaire and symptoms and symptoms of introverts who have this anxiety when they're out in social settings. And I don't believe it's a personality thing. I believe that addressing some of the pareloria symptoms with zinc and B6 can actually make it more comfortable for introverts to get out and get into social settings and feel more comfortable. And I know a lot of introverts say, just leave me alone, don't try and change me. But if you're an introvert and you feel terribly, terribly anxious when you go into some kind of social setting, think about looking into pareloria and seeing if adding in these nutrients can make you more comfortable when you're out socially.
Yeah, well, it certainly has me. I don't hide away in the kitchen anymore and help people in the kitchen rather than face the crowds outside. Or, you know, I don't feel so, you know, I always used to run away and hide if there were lots of crowds and never went to parties and things like that. And, yeah, as I say, you know, put on my skipper's hat and act, you know, big and skippering when I was teaching sailing and all that sort of thing. It was kind of a pose that you get into.
Yes.
There's one more thing that I've frozen. I've added now that I'm sort of living in the frozen north here in the UK from, you know, the tropicals, is vitamin D3 because, that also tends to have an impact.
Great. And vitamin D3 is important. We know it helps with mood, and it's important for heart health and cancer prevention and so many things. And living in a place, yeah, it's funny that you call it the frozen north, because I don't think of Cornwall as the frozen north, but I guess after Africa it is a little bit frozen.
Yeah, well, you know, it actually gets down to freezing.
Oh, it does. Okay. I was there in the summer, so it was beautiful. I remember going to the beautiful white beaches and hiking along those trails along the edge of the coastline. Oh, just so fantastic.
Yes. No, it is really beautiful.
It is beautiful. And you're living on a boat at the moment?
Yeah, we're living up the Fell River. Yeah.
And then you told me something about a boat that was used in a movie. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, it's moored quite close to us, actually. It's a boat that was used in the Mamma Mia movie, and it's moored quite close to us. It's been put up there for the moment. So it's quite an exciting little thing.
Beautiful. Fun. Mamma Mia, I love that movie.
Yeah, you know. So it's really a pleasant place to live. It's all in the country and everything else. Yeah.
You certainly have a very interesting life. And
It's never been boring.
Really great. And I'm just so glad that in your journey you discovered the amazing amino acids and then these nutrients for pareloria, and that you've found some wonderful resolution with them. And any final words before we close?
I must thank you and, of course, the IgG test and Dr. Natasha for giving me my life back. My husband is just so delighted I don't burst into tears every time life's a bit stressful, or use him as a hot water bottle. you know, I named my nutrition business Given New Life because I've been very fortunate. It's not just been once, but, you know, I made a spiritual change and went from hate and anger to love and peace in 30 seconds. And then these three times I've made a dietary lifestyle change, and life just keeps getting newer and better. I mean, I'm healthier now at the age of 58 than I was when I was born. I mean, how can you work that one out? and finding my food sensitivities coupled with GAPS and then the aminos, it's really helped my recovery phenomenally. And the world is just so much more enjoyable now. And I can laugh instead of cry. And I sunk my bicycle, you'll be happy to hear. And hubby's very delighted with his new wife. So I'd like to encourage others to give change a chance, and so that they can also experience a new life.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. It was wonderful to have you in the program, and I'm just so pleased that you're here sharing your story and that you've been given new life, and the aminos were so helpful, and that you've reiterated how powerful it is that we can turn our lives around with something so simple and yet so effective, which is why I'm doing the Anxiety Summit, so I can share this information so more people have these resources. And I know it firsthand, and food and nutrients certainly gave me new life. And I see it with all my wonderful clients every day. And again, Mimi, thank you so much for taking the time to do this and for sharing your story and for doing the work that you do with your nutrition business. And now you get to help other people. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, well, once you've been helped, you have to help others. But, I mean, nutrition just makes sense. If you think about it, our bodies were made by God or nature, depending on your beliefs, to run on God or nature food. So by putting man food into it, it's like trying to run a diesel car on petrol. It just isn't going to work. So I'm basically on a God diet. If I can't recognize God's made it, I don't eat it.
Fantastic. Well,